At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, Woo! Your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the whole entire internet.
Woo!
Woohoo! Thank you. Thank you. Shout out to that one guy over there. I'm one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I'm one of your hosts, Carmen. Woo! And it is... Okay, calm down. Who is doing
security,
that?
Security.
Goodness, this is supposed to be a closed set. Anyways, it's your two favorite hosts. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful day for a podcast. You know, we got a lot to talk about today. We've got a lot of things on the episode. We've got a lot of personal things to talk about. A lot of shout outs to give, a lot of Pokemon cards to open.
Oh, hell yeah. A surprise.
I know. That was such a big hit, apparently. We got a lot of messages about how fun that was.
People thought that was so precious.
So I'm going to do one more pack today of Mega Evolution. And I think we'll do that before we get fully into the episode here. But Kelsey, we got any shout outs from your end over there to start this episode?
We have Ashley is a new Patreon member.
Woo!
Shout out,
okay,
Ashley.
Yes, that was a good one. Thank you.
And
oh wait, I need to shout her out. Hell yeah, Ashley. Fuck.
I think that was the only one. Yeah.
Oh,
shout out Joe.
Shout out Joe!
Because he messaged me and said that I did a good job on the solo episode.
Oh, nice. Nice. That is nice to hear. I finally had a chance. I've got a couple shout outs. I finally had a chance to message one of our Apple reviews from Ghostlike Features. I have had a really great conversation with them, messaging back and forth on Instagram. And it's funny because I just got a message now. Her name is Sabina. She's incredible. She goes, okay, what is she hiding? Are you being held at gunpoint and forced to listen? She's hating for sport at this point, and you guys live in her mind rent-free in this
literally
economy. Like, for those of you out there who need an update, what is she hiding is updating their post, their review.
Two-star review.
We're down to a one-star now.
Oh, delightful.
So this person, they can't go lower. So they've you know, the threat of violence has been hit. There's nothing worse at this point, okay? So I don't remember what the original review was, but this is what it is now. Because they've changed their title now to not culture makers, but okay. First off, fuck yourself. Not culture makers. We are literally making culture for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
What a description. Not culture.
What is she hiding?
Should we put it on a shirt? Should we put not culture makers on a shirt? Grey's Academy pod. Not culture makers.
That's a troll shirt, and I fucking love it. I'm actually, as soon as we get off, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go on Canva. I'm gonna make this happen. So we all know the original thing. I'm assuming this is, can we just assume that this is probably a woman? I don't even know.
But I think
maybe it's a they,
what
them.
Is she hiding makes me think that it is a female, but I don't know. That is an assumption we're making.
This human, the original post they wrote, attacking our beloved Kelsey over here. Does the female host always have a cold? Please go to an ENT. Not great to be sniffling into the mic every single episode. She's going to hate the last couple of episodes from me. Whatever. then this person goes and attacks me. Also, I'm offended that this guy hates The Cure. Okay, first off, so what? And also, I don't think I ever said I hated The Cure.
No,
I think I said they're
probably
overrated.
You were like, they're fine.
I mean, yeah, whatever. Now, this person has updated to add a third paragraph here, okay? There's a space indentation between each of these, so there's a separate context. Okay, these people are the most basic. They have the most lame taste. Hates TV on the radio, but jizzes over Paul McCartney. ..
Neither of those things apply to me.
Which, the jizzing part?
Well, just the full last sentence doesn't apply to me. Like, the thing you're saying, these people are basic, but then says things that only you have discussed.
You and I both have talked about how we like Paul McCartney. I think
I
we've
like
talked
Paul
about
McCartney,
how...
But I would not say that I like him at the same level you like him.
I mean, that's fair. But that, I think the fact of the matter is we both have jizzed over Sir Paul. Different levels of jizz. Maybe one's a small trickle and one's a full ejaculate. Quite frothy in nature. And, you know, but I think that the thing is what is she hiding is writing about this. And we do live rent-free in this person's
coming
mind.
Back. But, like, I'm just like, seriously, it's okay not to listen. I just don't understand. It's like people who, you know, they bitch about Taylor Swift. I'm like, just don't listen. Like, if you think that, like, her music's bad, just don't listen to it. But why are you still listening? Do you just want to be included in the conversation? I just don't get it.
Yeah, we'd be happier to include you with a 5-star review. Like, this would be a much more fun conversation if you just liked us. But, you know, whatever. So we do have... Remember when Clara was our nemesis and she just said we talked too much? Clara, I think if you've listened this long, I think, you know, we've given you a bit of a hard time and I want to take some of that back. Okay, Clara, you're not the worst thing that's ever happened to this podcast. Then we do have a 5-star review from page reader and listener. Awesome listen, !! 5 stars. I started a rewatch of Grey's and was very fortunate to come across this podcast. You are so prepared and provide a fun and entertaining time. Thank you. Yeah. And then I want to shout out, I want to quickly shout out Heidi. You know who you are. I want to shout out Martha, Kim, and Aaron. Actually, two Marthas. There's two Marthas. Martha T and Martha S. And then Shelby. Yeah. So, what a time. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Grey's fan. What a time to be a Grey's Academy fan. And what a time to be us. Not culture makers, but okay.
That's so funny.
And there's no grammar there. It's just straight through, not culture makers, but okay. Like, are you saying, but we're okay? Or you're saying kind of like a throwaway,
okay.
Like sassy, like, but
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay.
Exactly. Not culture makers, but okay. Or are you saying like, not culture makers, but okay. Like, what's the inflection here? What is she hiding? What are you doing?
Would love to know. So funny.
Anyways.
Okay. Oh, also, if you listen and you are a Patreon member, there is a new cold open up where Carmen told the saga of how he's still sick. And we also unpacked the new Taylor album. So if you haven't listened to that, it's up now. And if you are not on Patreon, you can join Patreon and listen to that and also chit chat about it on our Discord.
Yeah, it was pretty brief. The Taylor review, I will say it was pretty brief.
We could do another one that's our full like ranking, but I just don't know if I could rank them.
I think we're going to have to. We did it with the A Whole New Sound album. We'll just have to do it, you know?
You know, sometimes I feel like such an old person because, like, people will drive by my house and I feel like they're slowing down. And I'm like, who's driving outside my house? Get off my
in front of my street. Like, they're not even on my yard. Like, just get, who's I'm like, that? Oh, the,
who's that peeping Tom?
Don't touch my property. Out there
on the street. My grass is freshly mowed.
Oh my
get
God.
Away from here.
Oh my God. We had a whole fucking thing with the HOA and the management company. And now Michael is being fucking insane about mowing our yard because he doesn't want to get fined. So he is literally mowing it once, like, every 5 to 6 days. Like, not even a full week's in between mowing. I'm like, you've got to calm down. He's like, they're going to fine us. I'm like, it's calm down. And then he was like, I got to make sure the backyard looks good. They're going to fine us if it's too long. I'm like, Michael, we have a fenced in backyard, like a 6 foot tall, ugly ass vinyl fence. No one can see through. He's like, they're going to take a picture over the fence. And I'm like, if they do that, they will
send
see
in
me
the
in
drones.
That is illegal.
Oh,
I was like, I cannot
imagine
this man.
That's so funny.
HOAs.
Here I am. I don't even own a lawnmower. Let him come.
Do you have someone come and mow your lawn?
Yeah. And my yawn. My lawn and my yawn.
I do love to mow my yawns.
I have not mowed this lawn of this house. I've not mowed once and since ownership.
Well, same.
It's a streak that I'm proud of. Jess's dad likes to make fun of me, and he likes to say, I'll just buy you a lawnmower. And I was like, great. I'll still pay someone to mow the lawn.
Great. I'll sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
I'll buy a free lawnmower.
A lawnmower.
A lawnmower week. A week of mowing lawns. All right. Let's do the thing with the episode. Let's talk about Grays.
This is episode 20 of the 9th season. It is episode 192 overall. And I have to tell you, tomorrow, the day that this airs, 10/16/2025, Grey's Anatomy will be airing its 450th episode of television.
Wow.
That
is
crazy. So much television of a single show.
And we're like,
we're
basically
on 192.
Yeah, we're like almost halfway.
We're not even close to halfway.
You know that Bon Jovi song, Living on a Halfway Prayer?
Yeah.
Oh, we're almost halfway there. Oh,
so,
crazy.
Halfway
Academy
to 450 is 225.
Yeah, we're almost
there.
We're
at 192. So
almost
we will,
there.
I don't even, we will not be halfway there by the end of the 10th season.
That is interesting. In season 11 then, right?
Yeah, it'll be early season 11.
Cool. Love it.
Wild. You guys, that's so much television. Anyways, okay. This episode is called She's Killing Me, and that is a song.
She's Killing Me is a song off of the album On Your Side, and it is by American rock band A Rocket to the Moon, released October 13th, 2009. The album itself, On Your Side, debuted at number 82 on the Billboard 200 with the singles Mr. Right and Like We Used To being released. I will tell you a couple of charting things on this to be very proud of. An indie alternative-ish rock band getting a number 82 debut, pretty cool. Reached as high as number 23 on the alternative charts and reached as high as number 35 on the top rock albums. This song, liked it. I'm going to give it a subjective 4.5.
Nice.
And it was downloaded into the Carmen iTunes library. And I actually want to go and listen to the rest of their music. I'm also going to give objectively probably a 3.9. I think I like it more than the usual person because this is my taste, but the album itself did pretty well, so I think there's some leg to stand on with that. But
yeah,
with that, I'm gonna turn it back to Kelsey.
Thank you so much, Carmen. This episode was written by Deborah Kahn and directed by Nicole Rubio, who plays the paramedic Nicole, who we've seen
Whoa.
In many episodes. Yeah. So she directed this. She directs like more in the future, and I think she also directed some of the other Shonda shows. This episode aired April 4th, 2013, to 8.58 million views. And there's a Netflix synopsis that I'm scrolling down to right now. Unsettling news motivates Derek and Meredith to take preventative steps for their children's future. True.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Not the main.
Quite a bit more happens in the episode. Yeah.
This is a funny one. I giggled a lot out loud in this one.
I got to tell you, I had to like really remember this because there was like a full week in between when I started this episode and when I finished this episode. So I think the Syrian doctors is a cool storyline. We get, you know, some April drama. We get some misdirect drama on the Leah and Bailey front.
Oh yeah.
And we're setting up some interesting stuff with the Shane, Heather, Derek love triangle. And Derek and Meredith both got their genome mapping.
Mm-hmm. They'd be mapping them genomes left and right. A couple things that I want to ask. First of all, well, let me recap it. Also, there was a recap at the beginning of this episode, which we have not had in ages. So Owen is still hyper-focused on Ethan and his parents. Derek is working with Brooks, and Shane's upset about it. This is also, Miranda has two patients come back with post-op infections, and Leah Murphy is like, I was on both of these, and I operated when I was six. This must be my fault. Then a third one comes back. Leah was not on that, so the cliffhanger essentially is like, oh, this was basically something Miranda did. We don't know what it was, but it was somehow Miranda is linked to all three of these patients who have come back with post-op infections, one of whom dies. And they also have two doctors in from Syria that they're working with to train on how to do like certain surgeries that they're going to encounter more because they are in a war zone now. And also, side note, I looked up the details on this because I was like, 2013, that was a long time ago. And I was like, oh, Syria just had a conflict that ended in December of last year, 2024. So, but what was this conflict that was in 2013? It was the same conflict. This, multi-side civil war. Like, it wasn't just between two factions, basically. Like, there's a large number. And it was like 6 million people fled the country. It's crazy. But it was, that started in 2011. And it just ended in December of 2024.
Wow.
So, that was what the conflict that they're talking about in the show is. Yeah, it was crazy. They're the Syrian doctors there. April is honest with Matthew about the virginity situation. And was there anything else? That was kind of it, right?
That was pretty much it, yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, I wanted to ask you if you thought that Ethan was going to still, like, Ethan and his parents were still going to be around, or were you surprised by the continuation of that story? Because I felt like when we had talked at the end of last episode, you were like, oh, well, I guess that story is just not resolved. And I didn't want to tell you it's because he'll still be there, but he still is here.
I'm not surprised. I am curious, like, what's the end payoff? And I think they're hinting at it a little bit when Christina sees, oh, because Christina's like enthralled with why Owen is so uptight in the recent episodes, and it turns out she thinks that it's because of Ethan and the care for Ethan as a child. And I think they're leading up to some sort of blow over where he's like, it's his fatherly instincts or something are kicking in, and she's hopefully going to have the realization that, like, you got to stop calling him sweetheart.
Yeah, at some point I took the note, Christina is flirting with Owen for some unknown reason.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. But I think that's kind of like what the writers are trying to paint this picture of, is like they're leading us to Owen is so emotionally involved because of it's a kid and he's like wants to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this is a multiple person storyline, and then we did get the insight that there's a grandma, but the plane was canceled. So
yeah, grandma's trying to get here. She's back east.
So there is a human who owns this child in the worst case scenario. So that's at least good news.
Yeah. Owns is an interesting choice of word, but.
Well, you know, children, much like women, are just possessions.
Right. Carmen hates women.
Trying to get.
And children.
I'm trying to get ready for. I'm trying to get ready for Trump's America. You know, I just have to.
Good times.
You know, I love when voting districts are rewritten so that minorities mm-hmm. have less of a voice. I love so that. Great. Big fan.
Love when National Guard is deployed on U.S. citizens.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about it. So obviously really well. For comedic reasons, obviously I'm kidding about all of that, guys.
For comedic reasons, but serious reasons, we do hate it.
It's but it called does satire.
Look, fingers crossed, like there might be an end in sight for the genocide in Gaza, which would be really lovely for the citizens in
it'd be really
Gaza.
Nice.
Be really wonderful if we could get those people the hate, the help and the aid they need, and also they could just like exist because they're doing nothing wrong by existing.
Yeah.
Just like let them be in free Palestine. I just don't understand what the issue is. It's fine. Everything's fine. Anyways, really hoping for it's looking like there seems to be positive movement, and it would be nice if that continued in that direction. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is like, no more people are allowed to write about us. Freedom of the press? Not in America.
Not in America. Get out of here, freedom of the press. The fuck, what do you think this is? Some sort of constitutional right that you're entitled to?
What do you think? We like the Constitution?
We only like care about the second gun part of it. Yeah! Look at us, same page.
Okay, anyways.
Same page of the coin. Yeah, so what were the other questions?
The twist at the end with Miranda. Were you gagged? What were your thoughts? What were your concerns?
My concern is that she's going to get fired for something. When Leah said that there was something going on and it was much worse or some shit, I was like, oh, like, okay, so there's like an infection going around. I didn't really know what to expect, like what was going to happen there. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Bailey was going to be involved in a negative way. So, but I am curious. And then it gets like very intense very quickly.
Yeah.
Like they're calling legal. Owen tells her to sit down. Meredith and Leah go and talk to I think it's Joyce is her name.
Yeah.
Goes and talks to her husband. Like it gets really intense really quickly. And I don't know that like being in leadership myself for so long, I don't know that it would have gone from 0 to 100 in that way. I think maybe they would have given her a little bit more context of Bailey, we need to investigate this. Like, I just need you to hang tight. I need you to get your notes, but like, don't talk to anyone else. Like just making her sit there. Like she even said at one point, I got to go get my notes. Like, yes, look through your notes. Like what happened? Because if you weren't sick that day, but Leah was, and it was something different than that, then we need to learn from this and we need to protect ourselves. But like making her sit down, just I didn't fully understand that.
Yeah. I think for me, it kind of read as like, we're just all going to now make a plan together before anything goes more. But I feel like it's just more serious.
I wish they would have said that though.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. I think it's just more serious because it's like when it's an intern, you can kind of be like, well, happens, these interns. What are you going to do?
Right.
But when it's like unattending, you're like, oh, this is like a real doctor. And also like a staple of this hospital. Like, yeah, the heart of the hospital.
The heart of the hospital.
So Yeah, that was my other moment. I mean, I knew what was coming, but I did not remember it being like such a long time in between Leah being like, it's something much worse. And then it's several minutes before they announced to everyone that it had to be Miranda and not Leah.
I didn't think it was going to be a Miranda thing. I thought it was going to be like a sickness or like maybe they had a batch of gauze that was infected and now like everyone that day is sick, you know, something like that. I didn't think it was going to be a person piece.
Yeah. I was going to say something else. Oh, not a bad Derek episode. Got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Not a bad Derek episode. So yeah, we can talk. So it starts, last episode ended, Meredith wanted to get Zola's genomes mapped and her own genomes mapped. And so they did that and Bailey kind of started and she's like, we got to redo some of Zola's just because like sometimes that happens with kids, whatever. And they're, Meredith is like, just tell me, do I have the Alzheimer's gene? And yes is the answer because drama. There's so many illnesses where you can have a gene that means you're more likely to get it. That does not mean you will get it. There are illnesses where if you have the gene, you will get it. I think Huntington's is one of them.
Huntington's is one. Mm-hmm. There was another one I had off the top of my head. I actually can't remember what it is now.
Yeah. And then there's, so I don't know if I've talked about this before. There's like, you can be a carrier for certain things, but not necessarily have it. So, like, I am a carrier for cystic fibrosis, but I don't have cystic fibrosis. And for you to have a child with cystic fibrosis, both parents have to be carriers. And then your child still only has a, I think, 1 in 4% chance. 1 in 4%. 25%. 1 in 4 chance.
I knew what you, I knew what you meant.
Yeah. And so there's just like the way genome mapping is really interesting. So, but it's also like when we did our testing, when before we got all of our results, they're like, do you want to, I mean, cause we did ours with 23andMe before it was terrifying. So good stuff. So, but they sent you this whole thing and they're like, you can select or unselect information from this list. And like, if you unselect it, we won't tell you your results for it. And they're like, once you know this information, you can't unknow it. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything medical, like we're not doctors, but like, once you know these things that you have, like, that's it. You can't not know it and you won't not have it.
It opens up Pandora's box forever.
It's interesting. It's interesting because like, yeah, it's one of those things like, would you want to know? And then is it going to make you live your life differently? Because it really shouldn't. You should be living your life the same regardless. But I don't know. That's probably like a privileged thing to say. Oh, you should just live life to the fullest. Well, whatever. Like, well, we can't because we live in a capitalist hellscape and we're like on the brink of World War III. So can't really be live, laugh, loving too much right now.
Kelsey, we should be grateful at what capitalism and the hellscape has provided us. I should have
be grateful right now.
The highest. I am so grateful to have the highest per capita healthcare system in any developed country in the world. I am so grateful that we do not offer public college as a right. I'm so grateful for that. Get a job, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Am I right? Like, let's
and
do
then
this.
Be licking some other boots, right? Am I right, guys? Let's have a break
absolutely
for capitalism.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Delightful irony.
Yes, yes. And actually, you know what time it is? It's Pokemon time!
This is how Carmen's participating in capitalism, is the Pokemon cards.
All right, we're going to do this, and then we could, I guess, continue talking about the episode or, like, whatever.
Yeah, if you don't like joy and happiness, I guess skip ahead probably, like, 2 minutes.
Sorry, we'll do this really quick. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, how can I do this? All right. You see here? What do we got?
A river with some... Oh, a little fish guy.
What is this? This is
like a tadpole.
Oh, Pachirisu? Patch. It's like a little.
Is it a tadpole?
Little guy. No, he's a little like mouse guy.
That is a screaming bat.
This is Grafaii. I don't know. Some of these Pokemon I don't fully know. It looks kind of like a screaming bat.
That is a rock with teeth.
Let's see. Knackly does kind of look like fucking a rock with buck teeth or some shit. This guy
that,
here.
That looks like a spooky ghost. Trick or treating.
What do we have? Oh, it's a Chikorita. Oh, it's a little grass Pokemon. It's one of the starters from Johto.
Okay, that's a lab.
Oh, just a trainer card. Okay. We have here.
That. Oh. That's like.
I don't know what this
is. What the hell is that? It's like a cemetery.
Let's see what this is. It's a houndstone. It's a dog gravestone looking.
Okay,
guy.
I said cemetery.
Yeah, you got that right. Right.
That looks like some kind of weird drone from The Incredibles turned into a Pokemon.
It does kind of look like that. That is Magnezone, not Frozone.
And that's Squirtle.
No, it's Ivysaur.
Sorry.
Ivysaur.
We know him. That's the turtle giraffe.
That's the turtle giraffe. We got another Shuckle. Turtle giraffe. That's Shuckle. Okay. And then.
Oh, God. That's that stupid rock guy, but I think it's an evolution of it.
Oh, Steelix. Yeah. So basically nothing is a bad draw. So capitalism.
I liked
really,
the bucktooth
really
rock.
Yeah. The bucktooth rock. What's that guy's name? That's what is it? Knackly? Look at this is the Netflix synopsis of this Pokemon. It was born in a layer. It was born in a layer of rock salt deep under the earth. This species was particularly treasured in the old days as they would share precious salt.
I do love salt. Okay.
Love a good salt. All right. So, what do we want to just like keep talking about the Ethan storyline and kind of like wrap that up? It's just interesting that it's still got Ethan, the kid, and the
oh yeah,
like because it's a vessel for Christina and Owen.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Owen just like just shut up. Like compartmentalize. This is okay. So this is one thing that irks the shit out of me that Owen is doing now, and I saw it all the time at Disney. If we would have like an important, like a VIP guest come in to the boutique with their kid, be it like a really high up in Disney or even celebs come in, and like we obviously like they'd have a reservation, so we would know that they were coming. They would be like, you like they would handpick, oh, who has got to do this one? And like, you have to do a great job. And that pisses me off because you should be treating everyone like that. You shouldn't have to go and pull someone and tell them to do a good job. Like everyone should be treating everyone like it's fucking Bob Iger's kids. And that yep. is what I'm like, Owen is. I'm like, it reminds last week when Chris, when he was like, oh, he has a kid. And Christine is like, oh, I would have treated him so differently. I actually wanted him to die. You yeah, should have told me. Yeah. Like, it just like, shut up, Owen. She's arguably one of the best doctors in the hospital. She's insanely competent. And you're like, the micromanaging is infuriating. I'm like, you don't know.
And she likes you for some reason. So yes. like, she's going
to
do well.
Why are you trying to ruin that? Like, ugh, it's so annoying. I just am over it. I'm just like, this is beyond chief duties. It's just.
He it's more like compartmentalize. Queef duties,
he
can't. Am I right?
He needs. All right, settle down. he needs therapy. Yet again, and still. So, Owen, or sorry. Also, it's confusing because I keep saying Owen and Ethan. Like I am switching the names all the time. So that's annoying. Ethan is still there. His mom is awake, and she remembers him, and she. So that's reassuring. And he was nervous to go see her, but she's okay now. And then, the dad is still not awake. And that's what Owen is really annoyed about because he's like, you said he would be awake. And she's like, I said, he might be awake. He also might not be awake. Like I'm still treating him normally. Like nothing is abnormal. Nothing post-op at this point is making her think like, oh, something has gone wrong. He's just not awake yet. And Owen cannot grasp this concept, which is, you know, yeah. delightful since he's also a doctor. He should probably figure it out. We see this all the time with like Derek's patients and brain surgery patients are like, you know, we don't know how long it will take them to wake up. We don't really know like what we will see when they wake up. And it's fine. Like, cause it's just the reality of like what that procedure, like the body recovering from it. For some reason, even though Christina has explained this clearly, concisely, thoroughly to Owen, he cannot figure it out. He doesn't want to accept it. So he's like, let's loop in Russell, who arguably is a moron and doesn't give a shit about anything other than getting money from the hospital. So I don't know. It's just pissing me off yet again. You know, we just hate Owen. It is what it is.
I think I'm really just getting sick and tired of the like, do you want Christina to shine or do you want her to like bend the knee? Like what do you even want, Owen? And it's gotta be hard for Christina to be like, what actually is going through your fucking little pea brain right now? So,
so true. Like she won't, she doesn't know. He never communicates anything. So no. like, how would she know? I mean, all he's ever communicated is have my baby or you're a terrible person. Like he's never done anything better right. than that. So yeah, Ethan's still there. Owen is yet again like, we can't let him leave with the social worker. That will be the worst.
He could get murdered.
Like he could just have a nice, warm, stable environment to sleep in. That would be terrible for everybody. So he's like, we have to admit him. Arizona's like, no, we don't. That's not protocol. We're not going to do that. It's not good for him. It's not good for anybody. And so Owen's like, meh, 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 meh. And then, of course, the Syrian doctor makes Arizona feel bad that sometimes children die. So she's like, oh, I've changed my mind. Oh. So that's fine.
Honestly, though, I'm okay with that little arc.
I appreciate the storyline they're doing with the Syrian doctors, and I appreciate the perspective that they bring, and kind of just the eye opening, right, to our characters, to what other people in the world have to deal with,
the extreme of the conditions that they're in,
yeah, and just things being taken for granted and all that. But I don't know. It was just frustrating with the Ethan thing. It's just the back and forth of it. And Owen doesn't have the soft skills to help walk this kid through what's happening. And you see that at the end when Ethan starts to get upset because he's like, I'm sick. And they're like, no, you're fake sick. And so he's like, oh, cool. Are my parents also fake sick? The skills to help this child are not there. Arguably making the trauma of this entire event way worse by just putting him in the hospital because he wants to, basically. That's the reason, is because he wants to do it.
And
many other kids we've never done this for.
I don't know if it's guilt or the only thing I could think of is he sees himself in this kid. He sees maybe his parents were in a severe accident and they were also unconscious in a hospital while he was a child, you know? I don't know. It's weird.
It's just the hyper connection to this specific boy hasn't really been explained in a way that makes anything understandable more than just why.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my issue with the story at this point. It's just can we get a solid explanation on why we have, I think the assumption is okay, it's a kid. He wants a kid. That's really kind of where it's at. I'm that's a kid and he wants a kid.
That's the end of one-to-one.
That's we got. Yeah, that's why we're here. I just don't really. What do you think is going to happen? With Ethan and Owen, with Ethan's parents, with Ethan specifically.
I'm going to give two predictions. Either both his parents live and it's going to be happily ever after. Actually, I'm going to give you three scenarios. One is the parents live. He lives happily ever after. Everything's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christina's going to tell him off and be like, I told you not to fucking worry, you idiot. Number two, both the parents die and he lives with grandma and grandma raises him. Scenario three, both the parents die and Owen adopts him. And that's how he leaves the show. And Christina and him are not together.
Okay, well, do you have a preference on which of those things happen?
I have at least
Christina aren't together.
I think preference number one is both the parents live.
Yeah.
Preference two is both the parents die and the grandma gets it. And then preference three is both the parents die and then Owen gets it.
The child.
Yeah, Jesus. It being Ethan, the human with a name.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's definitely it's just interesting. It feels like are you dying?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are
I'm good.
It's be okay?
Minor death.
It is interesting. I didn't really realize it until we recorded the last episode that you were like, oh, I guess that's just unresolved. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess they don't necessarily do a great job at setting that up as and this is a cliffhanger or a multi-story episode arc that we will continue next week. They don't really make that clear. Obviously I knew it was going to continue because I've seen this show. But it was interesting when you said that. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they don't really make it super obvious that that's going to be a continuing storyline for Owen.
Yeah. It felt like when they were rounding the corner and he was talking about soccer, it felt like that was the resolution. The kid's going to go home. Like, we're not going to see these people again.
Yeah. I definitely see where that is not done super clearly. But I also think that it's not super clear, you know, why Owen is really latched on and also up Christina's butthole about, you know, being a doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's probably, do we have anything else on that storyline?
I don't think
Owen
so.
Ethan.
Let's spend the next few minutes. My opinion was going to be talking about the Bailey Leah infection situation.
Mm-hmm.
The next episode, we probably could start with the Syrian doctors and the Derek Shane Brooks storyline, unless we have time to talk about that one here. But so give us the run, give us the high level Joyce Bailey. There's like multiple people.
Yeah, Miranda has Leah as her intern. And first of all, she's mad because Leah was eating crumbs in her lab. And so she comes
That's funny. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, and she says, she yells at Alex and she's like, you're raising these interns poorly and I raised you. So you're bringing shame on the whole family. And that was really funny to me.
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
Yeah. Joyce and her husband Steven are back. And Joyce has an infection from her surgery. And so they have to go back in. They can't like treat it with just medication. They have to operate again. And then at some point, another one comes in. And that's when Leah realizes, like, oh, shit. Oh, another one comes in and Leah tells Dr. Bailey that there was another one from that same day. And Leah's like, I was on both with you. And so she immediately, which this is interesting that she, I wonder if she would have made that assumption had she not been sick. Cause she says, I came to work sick. Like I was sick. She tells Stephanie and I'm like, if she's not sick and you still have both of these people with a post-op infection, do you still think it's either Miranda or Leah? Do you think it's maybe one of the scrub nurses? Do you think it's maybe, like you said, a pack of gauze or something in an OR or one of the medications
still does
was
not
dosed
go to the
wrong?
Person.
Yeah, I'm just like, there's so many people involved in a surgery that I'm like, how could you just say, oh, it's this one person? Like,
also,
your body's cut open. Like, there's a lot of people in that room. Your body is physically open. So to me, I'm
also,
like, how could you say, oh, it's for sure just this one person?
The people in the surgery are masked up, they're gowned up, they're gloved up, they're sterile environment. Like, I get the post-op infections happen, but, like, you coming in to work with the sniffles doesn't feel like this big dramatic event. How many of these doctors, how many people in general, you're working long shifts, you're working crazy schedules, 24/7 sometimes, multiple days in a row with, you know, you're just on call or whatever. Like, people are going to get sick, you know? Yeah. It's not your fault for coming to work sick. Everyone goes to work sick.
Well,
I've been coughing for a month. I'm going to work. Like,
and it's part of that is like the nature of the society that we have created because we, again, it's capitalism. It is like there's not companies that have good sick day benefits are like a rarity. Like they can tout that as, look at this benefit that we offer. Like if you're sick, you don't have to come to work. That's not the norm. Now, likely people listening in countries that aren't America are like, wow, what the fuck? And the answer to that is yes, exactly. It's just kind of like we being society have made this bed and now we must lie in it and we will lie in it and cough ourselves to death while we're still at work.
And we will like it. Because at the end of the day, we are blessed with a minimum wage paycheck.
Good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, there's people that are like, I can't. Yeah, there are people that say, you know, I can't miss work because I need the money. And there are people that say I can't miss work because, like, I'll get fired. And both of those are bad. Like, both of those things should not be reality.
Yes, correct.
So, yes. Especially, like, less probably when this was filmed, but now more than ever, like, there's such a shortage in the healthcare field. Especially, like, with nurses, because there, it's like you said, like, it's insane hours. The pay is not enough, in my opinion. And then with this show specifically, they really focus on, like, I can't miss a day because it's like my education. And if I miss a day, then, like, I won't be as good of a doctor as if I had been there that day. And I feel like we see that, you know, even before now, with when, like, the core group was interns and they were being, like, told to leave.
I also think there's an element, especially around this time of the hospital, where you screw up, like, you're getting fired. Like, they don't have the money to keep, you know, the heavyweight around, you know, mm-hmm. like, cut anchor, you know?
Yeah.
And they were talking about that before, like, when the Pegasus thing was going through, and maybe not as much now with the Harper Avery Foundation kind of, like, you know, bailing the hospital out still. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. It's not just the education piece, but it's the job security piece, which is shitty. It's a shitty feeling.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, Leah's like, oh, I operated. Maybe I had the flu. Maybe it was a cold, whatever. We all operate. We all come to work sick. So, Miranda's like, you better look through your notes and talk to all these people. We got to, like, call all these people and make them come in so we can get ahead of this, blah, blah, blah. And so they're working on that. A third patient comes in to the ER. Leah was not on that case. Weber handles it. It is bad. This man has waited a while to come in.
Too
His arm
long.
Looks not good. And so Weber has to operate on him. And yeah, Miranda was on that one without Leah. So that's when kind of things escalate. Because they have a board meeting to talk about the situation when they think it's just the two patients. And then there's a third patient and it's not Leah anymore. And then Joyce dies. So a lot of things happen all at once to kind of escalate it. Like, once it becomes Joyce has died and also it's not Leah, I think it's like a culmination of a lot of things. But I do understand what you're saying, where it feels like really escalated very quickly without a lot of explanation.
Yeah. And there's even a scene where, like, so Bailey gets pissed at Leah and walks away, where Leah's like, I think I had the flu. Yeah, like, I know, like, you just said that. She walks away. Bailey for sure has come to work sick. Like, you don't get to be Miranda Bailey without coming to work sick a couple times. But when Weber walks in and he's like, yeah, I operated on that guy. Like, it's really bad. And she's like, no, you mean girl. And yeah. Weber's like, no, like, guy. And that's when Bailey starts to lose it a little bit and it gets really intense. But yeah, the interesting thing is I would never have thought about Leah being the problem. And then the misdirect at the end of it being a different person, because they were, like, leading it up. And I think one of my notes at one point is, wow, there's a third patient. What if it's not Leah and it's something else?
Yeah.
And then Bailey goes and tells on about the infections. They got to get the chart. They got to get all this stuff. This is going to be a nightmare. Leah thinks she's going to get fired.
Yeah. And Meredith does a poor job making her think otherwise. She's like, well, yeah, we'll just, why don't you do a little work first and then we'll fire you.
As the hospital owner, you're probably going to get fired, you know?
But first, if you could make some calls for us, that'd be great.
Yeah. It's the definition of dig your own grave.
Yeah. So what, what are your thoughts now that they've made it, you know, very panicky?
I guess I need to really wait and see, because whatever's going to happen, it's going to have to boil down to a procedural thing. It's not like Bailey sat there with like rhinovirus and said, I'm going to stick some fucking, or like gonorrhea right in the fucking wound, right? Meningococcus. I love when they do that every voting season. I love when they meningococcus.
The Iowa meningococcus.
The Iowa meningococcus specifically.
Is that your favorite one?
It's my favorite one. Feel the burn. So yeah, it's I'm having a hard time understanding the storyline because now that I've worked in an environment where like post-op infections can happen, I've seen the sterility of the environments. I've seen like these things. Like, it can't be a person thing. It's not like she like coughed on the wound. She's like, she was like got real close and said,
she just leaned in and like spit.
That, yeah, like, ooh, that's gonna suck in 3 weeks, Joyce. Ha ha ha.
Also, Joyce's husband feels very upset. He's like, I should have brought her in earlier. This is my fault. And she's like, no, it's not. That's not how things work. I will take care of her, which of course means she will die because drama.
Yep.
So that's very sad. And then he kind of, I'm glad they don't show him learning about it because he was already very upset. And I feel like I would have been more sad if they had shown that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. sorry, the death.
I have a question. Do they film the surgeries at Veg?
They do not.
Because sometimes they talk on Grays about surgeries being filmed, and sometimes they don't. And I'm like, what's the norm?
I imagine they probably have some protocols in place for like teaching procedures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if it's a procedure where we haven't seen, like maybe Derek's tumors are probably getting filmed.
Mm-hmm. Because I can't imagine they would do like recorded film because doesn't that then create a pretty big liability if something goes wrong? Because you can be like, well, let me just watch the film and find the mistake.
But they show all the time recordings of procedures.
Right. That's why I'm confused. I don't know. If you're a doctor, let me know. Or just someone with the knowledge. I'm not going to Google it because where's the fun in that?
Yeah, and it gives us a chance to talk to our fans, our listeners, our friends.
Our angels.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, that's the storyline. I'm not sure where it's going. It's pretty dramatic. They're definitely making it dramatic. It's interesting that they are like, I think at the end they tag Weber in to like replace Bailey on
He's going to take care of Seth and whoever the second person was.
Mr. Lippick.
Mm-hmm. Seth Lippick.
Yeah.
But yeah, post-op infections, I mean, it's one of those things, I think, when they make you sign the scary waivers, anytime you have a surgery, they're like, also, you might just get a post-op infection and die. You know, it's not our fault. There's nothing we can do about it. Sign this paper.
Yeah.
So
no matter,
it does feel like there's a very
so much
serious,
meningococcus in the world.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, we have all the hand sanitizer in the world, but COVID still happens. So people be out here licking toilets. People just don't give a shit.
Yeah. Anyways, we actually have a little bit of time. Well, is there anything else with those storylines that you think we got to talk through?
I mean, you think it's going to be like an outside factor?
I do think it's going to be an outside
material
factor.
Or something, like a gauze or.
Yeah, there's some sort of maybe a sterilizer broke. Like she was because they put some of these equipment through the sterilizers. Maybe a sterilizer was on the fritz and all the things in that day Bailey got from the one sterilizer that was dying. And there's some stuff that, you know, can get traced back to being bad. It doesn't make sense that it's a Bailey thing. It's so out of character for her that the way that she's been written to this point over the last 9 years of knowing this character, not 9 years real Grey's time, but like 9 years of human time, is yeah, she'll get emotionally invested. Maybe she'll make an emotional decision. But she's never let the emotions cloud her medicine. Like, she's right. pretty solid she's medically.
Consistently, like, one of the best doctors on the show.
Yeah. You know, it's like Christina all of a sudden cutting a heart in half on accident. Like, it just wouldn't make sense.
Whoopsie.
Oh, no. I'm going to call legal. Yeah. You know, like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So I don't know what the case is going to be, but it's interesting that they're really leading it up to Bailey's in trouble. Like, yeah, she didn't fucking cut LVAD wires, guys.
Oh, the days. Those were the days, just cutting LVAD wires and then sleeping with a dead Denny.
Yeah, yeah.
Shonda Rhimes was actually on the Call Her Daddy podcast last week. And no, wait, it was a different show. She was on that podcast, but I think it was a different show she was on. And they asked for her first plot twist, her worst plot twist, and her best plot twist. And she said her first was, you must be the woman who's been screwing my husband. Classic. Incredible Great. Television. Her worst, she said, was bringing Denny back. And she said,
interesting.
She did it because she loved the character and the actor. And she's like, I just wanted to bring him back. She's like, in hindsight, shouldn't have done that. And then she said her best was actually from Scandal when Olivia.
Spoiler gets alert, in the car skip ahead. Spoiler alert, skip ahead.
Gets in the car at the end of season 3. And it's the guy that we know to be the head of B613. And she goes, Dad? I remember watching that shit live. That was wild.
Oh. Yeah,
I watched that live with my mom, and that happened, and I was like, my jaw was on the floor. My mom and I were both like, what? Oh, my God.
Can I tell you my, I think, most intense and most, like, hated visceral plot twist?
What?
In all of Shonda that I've seen so far? Skip ahead. This is How to Get Away with Murders. Spoilers. Skip ahead. Last chance. Who's the guy that she was involved with? Nate?
Yeah.
When Nate just with his bare hands killed that dude, that Piper from
killed his dad.
Yeah. And he was totally, when it was revealed he was totally innocent, was like, my heart was racing because I actually really wanted to like Nate. I felt bad because what's her name in the show? Viola Davis's character in the show?
Annalise.
Annalise. Mm-hmm. Annalise keeps fucking him over and screwing him over. I'm like, I'm rooting for Nate.
But it's like you almost want Miller to have been this like horrible person who was involved in organized crime and like was like had this man murdered and he just wasn't. And then also like the dagger of the fact that he and Paris Geller were in love. And
Paris, not Piper. I said Piper. Who's Piper?
I don't know who Piper is.
Is Piper from something? Paris. Maybe. Paris Geller.
Paris Geller.
That's who I meant. Who the fuck is
Bonnie? Yeah.
Fucking Piper.
When she had to go through like that loss, I was like, this fucking. And yeah, the reveal that he was actually innocent. I like went back and rewatched that. Like, because I watched it live, and then like when it went on Hulu, I was like, I'm gonna watch it again because maybe I like misunderstood it, and they're saying that he is guilty. I was like distraught for Nate.
No, he was so fucking innocent, and Nate mangled that motherfucker.
Yeah, it's absolutely really interesting how many people were murderers by the end of that show, and none of them were Annalise.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. I found the irony in that is really delightful to me. I love Shonda so much. Anyway, so that I just thought that was fun that she said her first plot twist obviously was Grey's because it was like her first show that she ever wrote. And then her worst was from Grey's and then her best was from Scandal.
That's interesting.
I would have to sit on it for a minute and think of like my, like, quote unquote, the best plot twist. I mean, I do kind of think that the Addison reveal in season 1 is like kind of top tier. But there is a lot, like the plot lines in general and in Scandal are obviously just like so much more intense because it's like a political drama versus a medical drama. So there's just a kind of a different stake to it as far as, you know, the entire country and like the presidency and everything in D.C. So I do understand that. But yeah, there's just something about You Must Be the Woman Who's Been Screwing My Husband. Man,
yeah.
To watch Grey's again for the first time. What's it like, Carmen?
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for.
And we will continue to be here for it in the next episode after everyone's favorite segment.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.